Where do you turn for comfort when things are going really bad for you? Well, here's the truth. Our hope, our assurance, our peace, and our comfort in trying times are all tied to the truth that God is the Creator. Like Job, we can be sure that this omnipotent God, who spoke the universe into existence, is fully in control of all the circumstances of our lives. This is the wisdom journey. Stephen continues in Job today with a lesson called A Word from God at Last.
Well, now we're here in chapter 38 of the book of Job, where everything is about to change. Verse 1 tells us here, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." Now just stop for a moment here. Aren't those wonderful words? "Then the Lord answered Job." We've been waiting for this for 37 chapters, haven't we? And frankly, Job's been waiting what probably seemed like a lifetime. Finally, God speaks. Now, what follows is the longest speech from the Lord recorded in Scripture. God is going to comfort Job, but it isn't exactly what we're expecting. God says to Job here in verse 3, "Dress for action like a man." In other words, get ready for a tough assignment. And the tough assignment is going to be an exam. God says in verse 3, "I will question you and you make it known to me." See, God is about to ask Job question after question in these next few chapters. I counted them, 77 questions in all. And they're going to be questions related to topography and oceanography, meteorology, astronomy, zoology. God's going to ask Job about the knowledge of the depth of the ocean and the measurement of the earth and the design and movement of constellations. Now, is God trying to humiliate Job for not having the answers? No. God is going to develop in him greater trust and faith by showing Job his power and sovereignty as displayed in his creative majesty and this amazing design of the natural world. But think about it for a moment. Here sits Job. He's devastated, diseased, and God finally arrives and speaks. But instead of, you know, little pat answers and quick solutions, God wants Job to think about the rain clouds and the stars. And I'm wondering, what kind of comfort is that going to bring? Well, I'll tell you, this tour of creation will bring incredible comfort to Job, just as it will bring it to you as well today. God's creative power is not some little sentence in a religious creed. No, creation happens to be a vital part of Christianity. If that sounds like an exaggeration to you, that's because our world has bowed to the theory of evolution and rejected the biblical account of creation. Even many churches today will agree that the Bible is, you know, just full of folk tales and myths strung together. The reason the average person today can't find comfort through God's creation is because the average person doesn't believe God created anything. We're just all accidents of time and molecules coming together in some puddle somewhere. Beloved, there's little wonder why Satan has launched such fierce attacks against the truth of creation. In fact, by the 19th century, there were at least 80 different theories of origins. Nearly every major world religion today is accommodated to some form of evolution. And that includes Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism and Shintoism and animism. It's even crept into Judaism, Roman Catholicism, Islam, and evangelical Christianity today. Let me tell you something. If the Genesis account of creation can be written off as a folktale because it's just, you know, too fantastic to believe, how or why should we believe anything else in the Bible? If the creation account is untrue, Jesus was mistaken when he said in chapter 10 of Mark's gospel, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." Evidently, the Apostle Paul was wrong as well when he wrote to Timothy and said that Adam was formed first and then Eve, 1 Timothy 2:13. By the way, every passage throughout the Bible that refers to creation, and there are scores of them, refers to it as a finished, completed event, not some ongoing, some still evolving process. So if the Bible isn't telling us the truth about God creating the universe, well, let me ask you, what other parts of the Bible can you really trust to be true? And let me add to that, without the truth of creation, not only is the Bible unreliable, but the gospel is incomplete. Did you know that when the apostles preached in the first century, Buddhism, with its evolutionary pantheism, had already reached that Mediterranean world? Did you know that the Stoics and the Gnostics didn't believe in a personal God creating the world? Well, they were the scholars of this ancient day. They were the university professors. So here's the Apostle Paul in Acts 14, for instance. He's preaching to the scholars of his day. Here's what he says to them. We bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. How did God make them? Well, the Bible tells us in Psalm 33, verse 9, He spoke and it came to be. Genesis chapter 1, let there be light, He said, and there was light. God simply spoke the universe into existence. I like the way John Wesley put it, the founder of Methodism. He said, God created the universe and didn't even half try. Well, to me, the wonder isn't that God miraculously created the universe in 6 days. It's a miracle that He took 6 days to do it. He could have done it all at once. And it's no surprise that Satan would attack the Word of God with regard to creation, because without creation, the reliability of Scripture is shattered and the gospel is rendered powerless. Let me add this. Without the truth of God's power and control over all of creation, you as a believer, I as a believer, we're without comfort. See, here's a man named Job who's lost everything. And what will God do for him? He's going to come along to him and say, Job, let me show you what I've created. Let me take you on a tour of the created order from the heavens to the earth to the oceans and to the animals. You see, God knows that a show and tell of creation's magnificence is going to help settle the heart of this grieving man. You want to know why a tour of creation is still one of the most comforting things God can give you when you're suffering? Well, let me put the answer into three final principles for our study today as we get ready to launch into this tour God's giving Job. First, if God is powerful enough to create the universe, He's powerful enough to control the universe. See, Job would have wondered about that fire that fell from heaven and killed his sheep and his shepherds who watched them. He's going to wonder about that unexpected whirlwind that toppled a house that took the lives of his 10 children. What God creates, God controls. Secondly, if God is powerful enough to create us, He is powerful enough to direct us. The things that happen in our lives are not accidents. They are appointments designed by God. So even when God doesn't explain Himself, we know that He's too powerful to slip up. He's too wise to make a mistake. Listen to how the psalmist David connects creation to comfort. He says over in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3 these powerful words. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Wow. Our powerful Creator God is mindful. He cares about us. Thirdly, if God is powerful enough to create our home on earth, He's powerful enough to create our future home in heaven. And in the meantime, as God begins to speak comfort to Job, we're going to discover the solution to suffering on earth is not a quick answer. It's not some quick little explanation. It's not a proposition. It's a person. The answer is our powerful Creator God. Listen as the Apostle Peter writes this, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator." 1 Peter 4:19. You see, our hope when we're suffering is bound up in the truth that we can trust God's word. We can trust God. Why? Well, because He is our Creator, God. Well, in our next session, we're going to begin this tour of creation and answer some of these 77 questions that God poses to Job. Until then, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You're listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Stephen called this lesson from Job 38, "A Word from God at Last." He'll continue through this chapter next time. We're able to produce and distribute this program because our listeners support us through their donations. You can make a gift to our ministry at wisdomonline.org. Do that today. Then join us next time as we continue The Wisdom Journey.